right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming today. So so we were going through the sermon series, and they said, hey, Jeremy, will you go ahead and preach on the names of God? I'm like, so you want me to preach for the rest of the year? Makes the scheduling easy, right? And so in my studies, I was sitting there, and I was like, I was going through, you know, all these different texts in the Bible, and some biblical scholars are like, hey, there's 24 names for God. Some are like, hey, there's 76 names for God. And the others are like, hey, there's 976 names for God. And I'm like, nobody really agrees on exactly how many names of God. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to go through the most used names in the Bible for the names of God. And then we're just really going to hit on seven. So, Chris, if you'll just come on up, I'm going to kind of steal or borrow, how about borrow, one of Justin's techniques of, I have 24 names of God here that are most represented by, in the Bible. And I just wanted to be reverent and read these off because I think they're important. We just won't have enough time to get to them today. Chris, if you don't mind, if you'll just go ahead and read these off for us.
Right. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord that heals. Jehovah Nisi means the Lord my banner. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. Jehovah Ra means the Lord my shepherd. You can tell me how to pronounce. Jehovah Tiskinu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shama, the Lord is there. El Shaddai means Lord Almighty. El Elyon means the Most High God. Adonai, Lord Master. Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Elohim, God. El Olam, the Everlasting God. Alpha and Omega, the Beginning and End. Abba, Father. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Lord saves. Logos, the Word. Messiah, the Anointed One.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I didn't mean to set you up like that. So the names that we're going to start off with first is Elohim. So Elohim is Hebrew, and it denounces the name of God. This is God. It's one of the most common names used in the Old Testament, starting in the very first verse in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The name Elohim is recorded 2,500 times in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. The basic meaning of the name Elohim is one of strength, power, and effect. Elohim is infinite, all-powerful. God who shows by his words that he's the creator, sustainer, and supreme judge of the world. Bring to the end of violence, wickedness, and make the righteous secure. You are the righteous Elohim who provides in the hearts. Psalm 7:9. Elohim is one of those that it's just definitive. It's like, I am God. And so there's not a whole lot to go through that. And then the next one is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. So the patriarch Abraham, who also created and hyphenated name for God, and it too means a lot to us. In Genesis 22, we have a dramatic account of God calling Abraham and instructing him to sacrifice his promised son as a burnt offering on the Mount Moriah. None of us can imagine the trauma of hearing such a command, but for Abraham, the burden was twofold. Not only did he risk the loss of his son, but he risked the integrity and promise of God that had given to him. Abraham's obedience required enormous extension of his faith. In Hebrews 11:7-19 says, by the faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he was received and promised, offered of his only begotten son, of whom he said, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. He concluded that God was able to rise him up, and even from the dead, from which he also received in his figurative sense. And so I put this in here because in my studies, some of the scholars were talking about that Isaac may not have been a little boy at this time. You know, we were always taught that Isaac could have been, you know, it was maybe a toddler, 8, 9, 10 years old. But some of the, in the studies, they were saying maybe Isaac could have been 18, 19, 20. And that just changed everything for me, my whole perspective of, you know, here's a young child that has a childlike faith. And then when you change that age to an 18, 19, 20-year-old, we all know how hard it is to convince an 18, 19, 20-year-old to do anything, much less go up to the mount, because they've said, you know, this isn't the first time they sacrificed things on the mount. So Isaac knew exactly. He was like, hey, we're going up there. And he's like, hey, Pop, what's going on? What's going on? So it changed my whole perspective on how the Lord shall provide. And so he allowed himself to be bound and placed on the altar. Perhaps he closed his eyes, Abraham's knife rose in the air above. But the moment God intervened, saying, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on your son. Do not do anything to him. I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In Genesis 22, 11, 12. So then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked up, and behind him was the ram. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall provide. In Genesis 22, 13, 14. So in Hebrew, the Lord provide is Jehovah Jireh. The deep lesson is the name for Isaac was a symbol of Christ, the only begotten son who the Father offered as a sacrifice. But there's also a lesson for us in this. We have everyday needs. We have financial needs. We have physical needs. We have emotional needs. So when we're in prayer, Jehovah Jireh, the throne of grace, we can call on that. Is the God who provides. The next one is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals is a title that God occurs in Exodus 15, which tells the story of the early days of the Israelites traveling through the wilderness. And in the previous chapter in 14, the newly liberated nation just escaped Pharaoh's slavery. And marched, we all know this, we marched wide-eyed through the walls of the towering water above them in the Red Sea. But in Exodus 15, they praised God for their supernatural deliverance. But they lost enthusiasm very quickly, we know this. And when they found themselves without drinkable water in the desert, we all know you can only go 3 days without water before you start to succumb to dehydration. So they came upon a pond that was brackish water, and it was undrinkable. So the first person goes up to the pool and one drink, spit it out, and says, hey, this is bitter, this is terrible. So the people in Israel began crying out to God, Moses, saying, what shall we drink? The Bible says Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them. Then he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. Exodus 15, 25 through 26. In the Hebrew text, the title is the Lord heals you is Jehovah Jireh. And so I believe, you know, we all believe that God can, that God can heal. He can heal the physical. He can heal the mental. He can heal. And the Bible says his stripes we are healed in Isaiah 53:5. But sooner or later we will all grow old and we will pass away. And he has promised us an ageless, sickless, tearless body that will enjoy through eternity. And so while I was praying about that, and God just gave me this vision of, you know, obviously when people are here and we want to pray and we want them to be healed. And sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. But we have the promise that we'll always be healed, and And so when God gave me this vision of when you walk up to the Lord on judgment day, and he actually lays his hand on you and says, "My son, my daughter, you are healed." And that just overwhelmed me. Like, it's really cool to see people get healed. We lay hands on them. But think about the day when God lays hands on you and heals you. And even now I get goosebumps of the creator of the world wants to lay his hand on me and heal me. It stirs my heart. The next one is Abba. Abba Father is one of the significant names of God in understanding how he relates to people. The word Abba is Aramaic word that means father. It's a common term that expressed affection and confidence and trust. Abba signifies the close, intimate relationship of a father and his child, as well as childlike trust a young child puts in his dad. Abba is always followed by the word father in Scripture. And the phrase is found in three passages in Mark 14:36. Jesus addresses his father as Abba Father in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Romans 8:15, Abba Father is mentioned in relation to the Spirit's work of adoption that makes us good children and heirs of Christ. In Galatians 4:6, again in the context of adoption, the Spirit on our heart cries out, Abba Father. Together the term Abba and Father doubly emphasize the Father of God in two different languages. We are assured of God's care of his children. So most people claim that all people are children of God, and I agree with that. But the Bible also reveals a quite different truth. We are all his creation under his authority and lordship, and we are judged by him. But the right to be a child of God and call him Abba Father is something that only the born again and saved can do. In John 1:12-13, when we are born again, and then in John 3:1-8, we are adopted into a family of God, redeemed for the curse of the sin, and made heirs of God. And then in Romans 8:17 and Galatians 4:7, part of that new relationship with God now deals with us differently as being part of his family. The next one, Eliyom. This is the meaning of the name Jesus said was the first and greatest commandment. The name Eliyom literally means God Most High. But the implication of the name and the scriptures which contain it reveal not only the power of the name, but the significance of Eliyom's position in our hearts. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. He was quoting the commandments given to the Israelites as they were prepared to take over the promised land. It is now is the first part of the Shema, a prayer Jewish families have prayed every day for thousands of years. In Deuteronomy 6:4-9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress on them your children, and talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along with the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames and on your houses and on your gates." That's Eliyom. Here's one that most of us know, but we don't know how we got to it. So the name Yahweh comes from the Hebrew word I am. And we've all heard the songs and the great I am. So when God and Moses at the burning bush and commanded him to go back to Egypt and lead the people out, Moses asked, who should I say sent me? And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." I always thought about that. I was like, if I was Moses, I'd have been like, what? Who are you? What? It would have completely confused me. So he said to the people of Israel, I am sent to you. And I can imagine their face too, like, what? I am. So your father's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, he said to the people of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is the name forever, and thus I'm remembered throughout all the generations. That's Exodus 3, 14 through 15. So several of the things that must be noted in order to properly understand that the significance of Yahweh, first is and I knew I was going to mess this up when I wrote it. I wrote it down in the Tegrumation, which is the technical term for the four letters, YHWH. It's based on the Hebrew word for being. And it's translated as, I am who I am. And I will be what I will be. And perhaps even I am the one who is. Regardless of specific translation, the name speaks of self-existence and self-sufficiency of God. And all others are dependent on him for life and breath and existence. Is dependent upon no one. He's for the reason the Jewish leadership in Jesus today thought it was scandalous, blasphemous, and worthy of death. For Jesus to utter those words before Abraham was, I am, in John 8:58-59. And then second, the ancient Hebrew scribes considered God's name too sacred to write it down. To write or pronounce. So when vowels were later added to the text, the scribes took the vowels from the word Adonai, which means Lord or Master, and inserted them in between the consonants. So instead of pronouncing Yahweh, they simply pronounced the word Adonai. Following this practice, most English versions of the Bible will translate the YHWY as Lord, all capital letters as seen in Exodus 3:15. Above, when the scripture speaks of Lord YHWH, then the English versions will have Lord God, with the word God in all capital letters. So both Lord and God in English versions stands for Yahweh. So the pronunciation Yahweh is our best estimate of how Yahweh could be pronounced. Since we do not have the original vowels, we don't know for sure. The significance is the meaning not only punctuates, but just as Jehovah is still a sacred name, even if it's not technically the correct spelling. Yahweh is a covenant name for God of Israel. In Exodus 3:15, as Yahweh speaks to Moses, he says that he is also the God of patriarchs. That he says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to God as God Almighty, but my name, the Lord, did not make myself known to them. In Exodus 6:3. This declaration drove us to further study because both Noah in Genesis 9:26 and Abraham in Genesis 22:14 spoke of Yahweh by that name. Moses himself seems to suggest that the Hebrews were already familiar with the name Yahweh in Exodus 4:1. So how then should we understand God's statement that he did not make himself known to the patriarchs by the name Yahweh? But the answer seems to be that whereas Noah, Abraham, etc. knew the name Yahweh, thus far knew that God is eternal and faithful. They never experienced the full impact of the name. God had freedom in his performance of his promises. But before those Moses, the fulfillment of freedom in the performance of his promises, God's promises remained distant, and their view for the character of God was murky. That was about to change with the Exodus, as God delivered his people with great miracles and kept his promises to Abraham. Other names of God might be considered descriptive, but Yahweh is personal. It is by this name that he covenants and leads the nation of Israel. Yahweh is the name of Israel's God, and the God who came to earth as Jesus Christ. Yahweh in the flesh, as Matthew 1:21 says. We will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for we will save his people from their entire sins. The name Jesus is from the Latin form of the Greek for Yeshua, which literally means Yahweh saves. So Yahweh will save his people from their sins, and simultaneously Jesus will save his people from their sins. This is just one of many instances where Jesus and Yahweh are equated in Scripture. The Bible is packed with other names and titles for God, but for the purposes in all these chapters, let's look at one more for Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. And you'll find it in the very last verse in the book of Ezekiel. And that the city, the future millennial capital of Jerusalem, will have a nickname. It will be known as Jehovah Shema. The Lord is here. So when you pray, you can ask the Heavenly Father as Jehovah Shema. Try it the next time you bow your head. He is there. God is near you. With him being ever present. Remember what we said earlier, God is omnipresent. So when you pray, your words don't have to travel millions of miles. That God is sitting right next to you. He's right here in the same room with you, and as close as your own spirit, closer than your brother, is your Jehovah Shema. Bethany, if you want to go ahead and come on up. I kept this one pretty short because I know everybody's ready to go eat. But as I was studying and meditating and praying, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why so many names? Why not just one name that I can identify you by? Why do you have so many names? And he just simply said, Son, I want you to know me. I want you to know my heart. And that's why I have so many names, so that you will know who I am. That's it for today. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the names that you have given us. Father, we thank you that you want to have a personal relationship with us. Father, we thank you that you are in this room, that you are sitting next to us, that you are Yahweh, that you are Adonai, that you are Elohim, that you are Abba, that you are Emmanuel, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Shema. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In your mighty name. So if you're on the ministry team, if you want to just go ahead and come on up. You know, Wednesday night, I don't know if a lot of you weren't here, but we had a huge turnout. It was an amazing turnout for our worship night. And people were coming for prayer. There was words of prophecy spoken. So next quarter when we have the worship night, I really would like for everybody to come. It was an incredible night. And so if you want prayer, come on up. Everybody, the teams are here, and we would love to pray for you. But one of the words that was spoken, one of the prophetic words was boldness. A boldness to come forward and pray. A boldness to when you see that person in the grocery store or at the auto parts store or on the side of the road, going to them and pouring into their life and letting them know about Jesus. So that was one of the prophetic words of boldness to the body of this church. That one of the other prophetic words was that we're going to see record numbers of salvations and baptisms. And those things won't happen if we just sit in these four walls and stare at each other. So the boldness to go out and have the Lord highlight those people and hear his voice. Because he'll tell you, hey, Go talk to that person. And I know myself. I don't know how many times I've been like, oh no, I can't do that. Person looks scary. They might not be want to hear from me. But you have the power of the Lord behind you. And that person that the Lord has highlighted for you needs that word. So I could just pray boldness over you. So go ahead and come on up and we'll just enter into this last worship song. And if you have kids, you're free to go get them.